ting tang, walla walla bing bang. Ooh ee, ooh walla 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 bing bang. Welcome to Fancast, Twerpcast Episode 3. This will be our all-musical episode. This week's operetta will be sung in tenor and bass with accompaniment on flute and harp.
Oh, for the love of God! No!
Lyrics and sheet music can be downloaded for a small fee from kickmyaxe.com. To keep this show on the air, we will need all the fan support we can muster. Now, I'd like to introduce you to my fellow criminal mastermind and executive producer, Jim Caswell. Jim just released his first solo album for beginning musicians. I touch myself, and you can too.
And I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce Doug Zeitlin, executive producer of the Keanu Reeves for President campaign. So, Doug, what is today's topic going to be?
Well, as I said, we're going to need all the support we can muster to keep this on the air. Fan support has kept many canceled shows on the air long after the networks thought they were done for.
If we actually did do a musical episode of Twerpcast, we would be canceled as well. The most recent rescuee by fans is the show Jericho. It received 1 year on CBS and was canceled after a cliffhanger season finale. And the fans managed to rally behind the show enough so that CBS renewed it for an additional 7 episodes so they could finish out their storyline.
This is a trend which shows good judgment on the part of the networks. This is not the first show ever to be saved by fan support,
but it is the most recent.
Networks in the past really have not considered their audience. The shows end on cliffhangers, and that's the end. Now, I understand that the networks are in there to make a profit. However, television is a medium of storytelling, and it's really unfair to the audience base to tell part of a story.
As long as there's an audience to tell the story to. Now, we understand that there are times that a show just doesn't have people tuning in. There have been plenty of shows out there that I was grateful that it got canceled after 1 or 2 episodes. And it showed me that America as a whole hadn't completely lost all sense of taste.
Well, it goes down to what type of storytelling are the networks going to do? The current trend is for networks to tell stories that are serialized rather than episodic. I think this is a very legitimate form of entertainment. 24 keeps people on the edge of their seats every week. What type of fan response would they get if they just canceled 24 right in the middle of a season? Jack Bauer fans would be outraged.
Before we get too far into this, I'd like to take a very brief look at what causes a series to get canceled in this day and age. For the longest time, there was the Nielsen ratings, and certain families would be selected to have a monitoring device put into their home that would keep track of what shows were being watched, and each box would represent a certain number of households.
This, in and of itself, is a large part of the problem with the Nielsen ratings. The Nielsen ratings are telling you what shows are being watched on those television sets. They're not telling you what's being watched in bars. They're not telling you what's being watched in dorm rooms. They're not telling you what's being watched on the network download sites. Only what's being viewed on those televisions, which are attached to boxes.
It also doesn't cover shows that are recorded on VCRs to be watched at a later time, or shows that are TiVo'd.
Actually, getting into this modern area doesn't show you what shows are being purchased or rented on DVDs. How many people have watched Lost on the rentals from Netflix or Blockbuster?
So there are a lot of areas in which these Nielsen ratings don't cover the situation at all.
VCRs have been available commercially since the 80s.
And ever since the 80s, people have been recording shows that they just aren't able to watch for any given reason. Personally, I have church that I go to every Wednesday night, and yet it seems as though everything that I would possibly want to watch is scheduled for Wednesday night. Therefore, I rely very heavily on my VCR to record the shows that I otherwise wouldn't be able to watch.
Absolutely. I watch 99% of my television shows on the DVR.
And if you were a Nelson family at this point,
that would say I watch no television.
The main point of that was to show how flawed of a system they are currently working under.
This is actually a really good segue to talk about how flawed the Nielsen ratings actually have been for a long time. Going back to a show like Star Trek. When Star Trek was on the air, Nielsen did not take into account demographics. Demographics currently are the biggest seller in advertising. And Star Trek, in its demographic, was the number one television show in America.
But yet, because of the lack of Nielsen ratings, it was canceled after 2 years.
Nielsen was only looking at the total number of households, not the target demographic. Ironically, just after Star Trek finally went off the air, that was when the demographics really came in, and people started to notice shows that did not have the entire market share, but had the demographic share that the advertisers were looking to sell to.
Keep in mind that the amount of money that is given by advertisers to advertise during a specific show is based on the ratings. It's also based on the demographics now.
So here we are, 2 years into Star Trek. The supposed ratings are not high enough to generate the sales numbers that NBC is looking for.
So they cancel it.
What do you do? Well, if you're Gene Roddenberry and his fan base, you create an organized campaign of letter writing, newspaper advertisement, whatever you can get your hands on to show the network. This has a solid fan base.
And thus was born the letter campaigns. Now, a lot of people look at these letter writing campaigns, and they do first think about Star Trek and other science fiction shows, and they draw a comparison between letter writing campaigns and, for lack of a better word, twerps. But letter writing campaigns have not just been for the geeky at heart. Some other shows that have been saved thanks to letter writing campaigns are shows like Cagney and Lacey, Designing Women, Touched by an Angel, that's just to name a few. Those are not shows that draw the geeky audience.
Technically, geek is not a demographic. Well, shows like Cagney and Lacey, Designing Women, and Touched by an Angel, we're running into a little bit of proof that the core demographic really is not just the male 18 to 35. It's also the female 18 to 35. There's a saying that the greater the intelligence, the greater the need for play. We're not talking about unintelligent people. We are talking about an audience with the know-how, with the drive, and with the need to play. We're talking about doctors and lawyers, dentists,
businessmen,
congressmen.
Oh. No. We don't want to appeal to the lowest common denominator.
Yes, I was trying to talk about intelligence now. And so these intelligent people, not only do they know how to act, but they also know how to get their actions taken seriously.
Much like the use of the VCR, when the internet became readily available for everyone, it sped the whole process up. You no longer had to wait 2 to 5 days for your letter of complaint to reach the network. You could now sit down on your computer, type out an email, and it would arrive 2 to 5 seconds later.
I see a couple of problems, actually, with the internet and fan writing. I have to give the network executives more credit than I really wish to. They know the difference between photocopied mailings and mass emailings that were all generated on one computer. Even as far as online petitions, how reliable are those numbers? I think the old-fashioned pen and paper, putting something in the mail that you have done in your hand, shows networks, shows executives, that you're really serious about this issue.
I know that any time that I've come across a online petition, and I see things like 250,000 people have signed this petition, I have to sit there and legitimately question how many of those names are falsified.
And how much effort really goes into that? Even if you really do put your own name on an online petition, that was 2 to 5 seconds worth of your life. If you're writing a letter, you're spending several minutes. You're spending your money on the postage. You are really putting your heart and soul into something.
Which is why networks still take letter writing campaigns and a relatively new trend of gift mailings a bit more seriously. Gift mailings are taking an object that represents the show and mailing it to the studio as tangible evidence of your desire to continue watching that show. Some examples of this go back as far as the television show Roswell. When it was facing cancellation, fans mailed miniature bottles of Tabasco sauce to the company because the lead characters on the show ate Tabasco sauce pretty much on everything.
One of my favorite gift campaigns actually comes from Farscape, where people sent crackers to the network, representing the episode Crackers Don't Matter.
Some other examples are when they were mailing in Mars bars for Veronica Mars. And coming back to the most recent situation, they mailed in peanuts for Jericho. I thought, you know, little packages of salt. But in the last episode, the battle cry as they're going off to war is, "Nuts!" So therefore, that's why they picked peanuts.
The fans are able to generate awareness of their desires to keep these shows alive and ongoing. The executives have taken a look at it and put the onus back on the fans, said, "If you can generate this type of awareness for a campaign, bring us the ratings next season." The networks are a business. That is a legitimate business concern. The executives are willing to bring the shows back, but the cost is to bring in ratings. Here's where I lose my respect for the networks. They do bring back the shows, but in such a way to intentionally kill them. Star Trek essentially went from a prime time slot to a late night party night, effectively killing its 18 to 35 year old male audience.
With networks, there is a term called Killer Friday. If you put a show on Friday night, you are expecting it to get killed. In general, networks don't like to be proven wrong. They are very egotistical in this regard. When they are proven wrong, they will sometimes go out of their way to alienate the show's audience so that it will shut them up. A good example of this was the television show Beauty and the Beast. It starred Ron Perlman and Linda Hamilton. It was a fantasy-slash-romantic television show that had a very dedicated fan base to it. It was one of these shows that got resurrected through a letter-writing campaign. The key thing that the audience loved about this show was the relationship between the two lead characters, Vincent and Catherine. When the show was brought back, the studio killed off Catherine and brought in a new female lead character. And they changed it from a romantic situation to one filled with tension, filled with anger, filled with remorse, essentially changing the entire series. And then when the fans stopped watching because it was no longer the show that they loved, the network got their way and they got to cancel the series.
It's counterintuitive, yet this phenomenon really happens. So you have to ask yourself, why even bring back the television show in the first place?
In some ways, I think it has to do with ego. When the network gets proven wrong, they don't just want the show canceled. The overall feel to the audience is that they want to punish them for having doubted their wisdom.
Well, in so much that a network itself is not a person. The network doesn't really have an ego. The executives certainly do have egos. And often, it feels like not only do they want to cancel the show, but they want to salt the earth also.
Now, if this only happened a couple of times, it probably wouldn't be taken so personally. But it has occurred multiple times. The odd thing is that in the case of Star Trek Enterprise, it actually backfired on them a little bit. Because originally, Star Trek Enterprise was supposed to be canceled after Season 3, but the fans came in and rallied. And at the time, even the studio rallied behind it, saying that they would cut back costs, make it more financially effective to produce the show, therefore costing the network less money to air it. Problem was that in getting rid of some of the fancy stuff that they brought in Season 3, they also improved on the storylines. In the end, it wasn't the cutbacks that killed Enterprise after Season 4, but it was being placed on Killer Friday. Speaking of Star Trek, that franchise has had more lives than a cat. And in spite of the fact that Enterprise was canceled, the franchise is still not dead.
Sometimes I think that's despite the efforts to salt the earth on this one.
That's okay. There are times that I think it's in spite of the fans.
So Star Trek the original series is canceled. Goes into reruns about the exact same time that the Nielsen ratings are showing their demographics. And something's surprising them. The reruns of Star Trek are getting higher ratings than television shows on their first run.
So what do you do now that you've committed to canceling this show? You've already thumbed your nose at the audience. How do you try to cover your own butt in a situation like this?
At this point, it becomes obvious to the network executives that there's some money to be had from this show.
And when the almighty dollar speaks, everyone listens.
Well, the first effort was better than nothing. Star Trek the Animated Series.
On the plus side, they were telling stories along the same grade as the television series. The problem was that they were trying to market it to an audience of 5 to 10 year olds.
In what is already proven to be the top demographic earner in the 18 to 35 year old males. During the same time period, the network and Gene Roddenberry are working on a small project called Star Trek Phase 2.
The basic principle behind it was we're going to bring back the characters that the audience loves, Kirk, Spock, McCoy, Uhura, the core group. We're going to add a few younger officers in to bring in the younger demographics some more, and we're going to try this again. And then a little movie came out by the name of Star Wars.
Star Wars effectively kills Star Trek Phase 2. When the Paramount executives say, hey, science fiction can make a lot of money, don't we own a science fiction show?
Why, yes. Yes, we do.
And production of Star Trek Phase 2 ends. The props, the costumes, the actors are all in place. They become Star Trek the Motion Picture.
William Decker and Leah Zahn were all those younger demographic characters that were put into place to draw the younger demographic.
Okay, let's face it. The Star Trek movie was no Star Wars. It did generate a boatload of sequels.
We're looking at number 11 coming out in 08.
So now we're at a period where the fans not only can save a show, but they can bring it into a new media or a new format. When we look at some of the more modern shows, we have something like Joss Whedon's Firefly, canceled after only a handful of episodes, yet the fan support, the sales of the DVD, proved to studio executives that this was a merchandisable entity, and Firefly becomes the movie Serenity.
The sale of the DVDs is the key point there. The networks bow down to the almighty dollar. They want to see the money come in. When the ratings say it's not going to make money, they cancel the show. When the show goes to DVD and sells through the roof, the dollar signs re-enter their eyes and they think, hey, maybe this is still marketable. Let's try this again. You want to bring your series back? Show the networks that they can make money.
Sometime in the next year, there'll be new original episodes of Futurama. There's going to be a new direct DVD movie for the Babylon 5 universe. And these are just the beginning.
Even a show like Farscape, when it got canceled, while it ended on a cliffhanger thanks to DVD sales and fan outcry, the studio was convinced to at least let them finish up the storyline. We didn't get another full season, or 3, or 4, or 8, or 10 like we wanted, but we at least got a resolution to the story.
Movies and DVDs, these aren't the only way to save television shows. On occasion, network executives at a competing network will look at it and say, hey, we have a built-in audience. We can sell this show.
Some good examples of this are Roswell, which went from the WB to UPN. When the budget was quote-unquote too high for the WB, UPN also picked up Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Not to be outdone by the science fiction and fantasy crowd, the comedy Family Matters moved from ABC to CBS for its 9th season when ABC was ready to give up on the show. But again, this isn't a new trend. Back in the 60s, when ABC canceled Batman, NBC was ready to pick it up and run with it, and the only thing that stopped Batman from getting a 4th season was the fact that their sets were completely demolished, and NBC didn't feel like spending another $80,000 to rebuild them.
One of the most important aspects to these fan campaigns is persistence. Persistence certainly does pay off.
And you don't have to worry about it if it doesn't work within the first 2 or 3 years. There have been a number of series that have been canceled for years, even decades, before the networks finally realize that it's a marketable show and bring it back.
Doctor Who would you be talking about?
Yeah, him. The BBC canceled Doctor Who after 28 years.
In a case of really trying to salt the earth.
But in 2006, thanks to a fan, admittedly he was a powerful fan at the time, but Davies is a fan nonetheless, he managed to resurrect the series. But that isn't the show that holds the record. We once again come back to our favorite topic, Star Trek. After being canceled for nearly 2 decades, it was finally brought back in the form of Star Trek: The Next Generation.
And it would remain on the air again for almost another 2 decades, in one form or another. And other shows that are not genre shows, like The Family Guy, outraged fans were able to bring a show like that back.
It took them 5 years to do it, but they finally got the networks to listen.
Again, I think they were influenced by DVD sales. Family Guy is a very marketable property.
Not to mention the good ratings that it was getting on Cartoon Network's Adult Swim.
All right, but true enough, even with the fans out there generating publicity, writing letters, sending gifts, doesn't always work.
Shows like Everwood and Arrested Development both had strong fan bases, but couldn't generate enough momentum to convince the networks to bring them back. I don't mind that fact, but that's just my own personal taste about those shows. Oh wait, you really should have seen them before passing judgment on them, huh?
Jim, I have seen them. The very fact that you have not just proves you have taste.
And the fact that you've seen them proves that you have way too much time on your hands. And of course, there was Star Trek Enterprise. Even after gaining a year, Killer Friday took its toll, and the show was canceled. Of course, the network went belly up 2 years later. Coincidence?
I don't think so.
Speaking of Star Trek Enterprise, this makes for a good transition to talking about upcoming events for TWRPS. First and foremost is the celebration of E-Day, which is part of the campaign to save Enterprise. They are celebrating the television show on TrekNation.com. They're going to be having day-long chats, and TWRPS has been invited to be a featured speaker during one of these chats. We are very happy to have been invited to participate in this event. Our specific chat will be taking place on August 5th from 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. It's up to you to do the math, on TrekNation.com. Also, we are very happy to say that Act 3 of Two Eras Human, our second Star Trek Eras episode, is going to be released on July 12th. And finally, for those of you who are going to be in attendance at Shore Leave this year in Baltimore, Maryland, please keep an eye open for Admiral Avery. Ask me about Star Trek Eras, and you might win a prize. Shore Leave runs from July 13th through the 15th.
We'd like to thank you for listening to FanCast, TWRPcast Episode 3.
Please join us next time when we talk about the phenomenon that is Harry Potter on Episode 4, PotterCast.
We welcome your feedback at jim@twrponline.com.
TWRPcast is a production of Timewell Electronic Recording Productions, copyright 2007.
Beam me up. There's no intelligent life down here.